We're going to listen to God's word read to us by Matt and Debbie, so grab your Bible and turn with us to Luke in chapter 24 and verse 13 to 35. That's Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35.
On the road to Emmaus.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them,
"What are you discussing together as you walk along?"
They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?"
"What things?"
he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them,
"How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?"
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognised him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures with us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognised by them when he broke the bread.
Well, it's not going to happen this Easter, but normally at Easter you would have friends come to visit, wouldn't you? It's great to see people you've not seen for ages. I do hope you'll have a chance to at least maybe meet people virtually this Easter over teleconferencing or something like that. It's a real privilege when the person at the door who meets you is someone you've not seen for ages, maybe a long-lost friend or a great aunt who moved to Australia. You know, you've missed them for so long. There's excitement and there's joy. There's the thrill of getting to know one another again and enjoying each other's company. And sometimes there's the wonderful news that they're moving closer to you. It's not just going to be a meeting that will end, but a new life of friendship. Well, hopefully. In this passage, there's an amazing, joyful meeting with an old friend. But this meeting is so unexpected. It turns their disappointment, their mourning, to joy. And it's also so profound. The meeting will change their hearts, their lives, and even their eternity. So first of all, we see that there is someone they've missed. We see it in verse 17 to 20. Jesus joins them. They don't know it yet, verse 16. But he's there with them. Jesus asks them what they're discussing. They're amazed. "Are you the only one who doesn't know all that's happened?" they say in verse 18. You see, it's been such an incredible week. There was Palm Sunday. Huge crowds gathered to welcome Jesus as he entered Jerusalem, shouting and celebration and excitement. But then there was Good Friday, the arrest, the show trial, Pilate himself presiding over it. The crowd gathered and they were all whipped into a frenzy. "Crucify him, crucify him." It all seemed like such great fun. But then there was the cross carried through Jerusalem. The cross raised along the main road into Jerusalem. Then there was Jesus dying. The earthquake, the sky dark for 3 hours. No, you couldn't have missed it. I remember when the Queen came to our hometown of Bath and the roads were closed and the flags were out and there was a huge procession. It was the talk of the town. that was amazing, but this first Easter was so much more. No one could have missed this, yet it seemed to the two men that this stranger had missed it entirely. But let's just stop there. You see, all of this raises a question. Have you missed Jesus this Easter? You see, Jesus wasn't ignorant at all of what had gone on, was he? But he asked them, "What are you discussing?" Not because he didn't know, but because he was challenging them. You see, they thought that they had seen it all and understood it all. But it was them who had missed out. It was them who didn't understand what was going on. So maybe you know that Easter isn't all about Easter bunnies, isn't all about Easter eggs. Maybe you know Easter is actually all about Jesus, but maybe you've missed its meaning for you. I wonder if all that's happened on that first Easter has had any real impact on you. Has it changed your life or transformed your life? Or is it just an historic event? So here's my first question. Have you missed Jesus this Easter? Well, what does Jesus do? Well, look in verse 25 to 27. Well, it seems like he's being a bit sharp with him, doesn't it, in verse 25? How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe. Ouch. I remember in an A-level maths class and I just didn't get integration. And the teacher came over to me and said, "Are you so stupid? Haven't you understood it yet?" And he hit me over the head with a book. Well, it wasn't a very helpful experience. Is that what's happening here? Well, actually, no, it's the opposite. There's a patience and a love in everything that Jesus is saying. He's more like a father saying to his child who's struggling over a Lego model and not understanding the instructions, "Haven't you learnt to build that yet? Here, let me show you." See, have a look in verse 27. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explains to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. There's not only somebody they've missed, but there's also something that they need to understand. So what does Jesus explain? Well, we're given some hints, aren't we? We're taken back to Moses. That's the first five books. In Genesis, in the garden, when sin entered, that God would send a saviour. In Exodus, when a lamb was slain, its blood was painted over the doorpost so that God's judgment would pass over them. In the law, where we try so hard, but we're showing that we can't be right before God. And through the wandering through the wilderness, where their rebel hearts were showing that we're naturally rebels against God. And above all, Abraham and Isaac, where God himself was saying that God himself has to supply that lamb of sacrifice. And then also we see that it's in the prophets, all those times when God promised that his Messiah would come through thousands of years, the one who was promised from God from the beginning, the one who would come in the line of David, the one who would deliver them from their greatest enemy, the one who would call his people into a new kingdom, the one who would rule over his people with justice and love, the one who would give his people a hope and a future. Jesus takes them through the Bible. He shows them that all of these promises are fulfilled in Jesus. His death was not a disaster. In fact, his death was a victory. He declared with a shout, "It's finished! It's done! It's completed!" So my second question, do you realise that Jesus came to be your saviour? He's the saviour who was long promised. His death is able to pay the price for all your guilt. His blood is able to cleanse you from all your sin. He came to bring you close to God. He came to make you whole. He came to give you new life, a new hope, and he came to give you an eternal future. Well, one more thing. Have a look in verse 28 to verse 32. What does Jesus do? Well, they need to stop for the night, but Jesus, it says, acted as if he was going further. Why does Jesus do that? Was he being unfriendly? Well, of course not. But there's an important point, isn't there? Jesus isn't going to force himself on you. Like them, you've got to realise your own need of him. You know, we all need Jesus, don't we? None of us can save ourselves. We can try. We can try the very best we can. We can try to be nice. We can try to be loving. But nothing we can do can erase all the failure of our past. And nothing we can do can take away the trail of guilt and shame. So here's my last question. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to seek Jesus? Will you try and find out more? Will you invite him to stay? So let's look at the passage again, because you see there's a glorious response to them when they invite him to stay. Verse 31, it says, their eyes were opened. Verse 32, they asked themselves, were not our hearts burning within us as we talked with him? And he opened the scriptures to us. You see, they realized that they had met the risen Lord Jesus. He was victorious over sin and death. All that God had planned from eternity had been fulfilled in Jesus. And they believed. They came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Their lives were transformed. They rushed back to tell the disciples. They were filled with excitement and joy. They were at the start of a new life, all because they had met the risen Lord Jesus. So here are my three questions. First of all, have you missed Jesus this Easter? Secondly, do you realise that Jesus came to be your saviour? And thirdly, what are you going to do about it? There are so many watching this morning who have already met the Lord Jesus Christ. They know him as their living saviour. He's changed their hearts. He's transformed their lives. For us today, today is celebration day. Jesus is alive and lives in me. But what about you? It's been ghastly watching so many people in hospital, grasping onto life, but life is so fleeting, isn't it? It reminds me of visiting an old man in hospital when I was a teenager. I knew him only as Bill. He was an amazing, friendly, loving old man. But he was in hospital to die. His cancer was advanced and nothing could be done. But when I went to see him, I had to search around for him. You see, he was constantly going from bed to bed to comfort and help others. Why? Because he knew Jesus as his saviour. You see, he had walked with the risen Lord Jesus for most of his life. He was confident that Jesus had given him new life, life eternal. And so, unconcerned about himself, he just wanted to encourage others. And so he was going from bed to bed with a broad smile and great confidence. 2 days later, Bill died. But at his funeral was message after message from other patients, each one telling of the amazing love and peace that Bill had shared with them. You know, Bill wasn't grasping onto life. He didn't need to. He knew that he had a hope and a future because Jesus was alive. Oh, I long for you today that you too would come to know the amazing reality of the risen Lord Jesus Christ in your life.